It turns out the long, divisive battle over a so-called right to repair law in Massachusetts is not over. At issue is a new law that Governor Patrick signed in July, the first in the country that finally gives independent auto repair shops access to electronic codes and high-tech diagnostic equipment from automobile manufacturers.
The law is a win for consumers and represents a compromise with the auto parts industry and ends a 14-year-long battle. It also preempts a right to repair ballot initiative, Question 1, this coming November. Thanks to the new law, both sides say the ballot question is now not necessary.
Or maybe not. With more on this, we're joined by Matt Murphy with the State House News Service. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So take us back and remind us, first of all, what this fight was all about, which we thought was finally resolved. Remind us what it was all about.
Sure. Well, as you noted, this has been going on for years, not just in Massachusetts, but across the country, as groups have tried to get this passed. And in Massachusetts, would become the first to have this type of law on the books. Essentially, at issue is what you said, the access for independent auto repairers, those guys on the corner of your neighborhood streets, to gain access to the same diagnostic information to fix these cars, which are highly computerized now. Same access as a dealership would. It's kind of level the playing field.
Levels the playing field, allows consumers to take their car to their neighborhood guy, and he'll have access to all of those proprietary computerized codes and so on and so forth. So after many years, a compromise law is finally hammered out, signed by Governor Patrick in July. What does the law actually do?
Well, there was this past two-year session, there was a bill that had been floating around, getting a lot of hearings, a lot of thought put into by lawmakers up here. Legislators and the groups involved failed to reach a compromise by the deadline, which allowed the groups pushing the ballot question to proceed, put it on the ballot. And then on the final days of the session, a surprise to most people watching the issue, and especially up here on Beacon Hill, a compromise emerged. They announced a deal that essentially pushed out the timeline for implementing these reforms a bit, giving some peace of mind to the manufacturers. It also sufficiently assuaged the concerns about the proprietary and intellectual property rights of some of the manufacturers, as well as protecting the franchisees, the dealerships, that they will continue to be able to work with their manufacturers and have access to repairing so that they have that network of business. And that was the compromise that was reached, even though the ballot question proceeded to voters and had considerably different language included.
All right. So what happens? So we've got this law, a right to repair law, that both sides say they're happy with. What happens if question one, which is still out there, passes and there are competing laws on the books?
That's remains an open question, but I think what you're likely to see is lawmakers will revisit. At least those are the signals that we've been getting. When this compromise was struck, the all involved, the repairers, the manufacturers, all the different interest groups promised to advise voters that it was no longer necessary. But what we've seen is a campaign now to just advise voters to skip the question.
Just not vote on it either way.
Right. And given the current polling, given the technical nature of this question for starters and people's ability to grasp it in a simple description of a ballot question, obviously it sounds like something you might want. I want to be able to fix my car wherever I'd like to bring it, to the mechanic that I know. So given that, given the polling, I mean, it appears likely to pass. And without a concerted vote no campaign by either side, you would think this would pass. Now, the legislative leaders who kind of supervised this deal and have been working on this bill indicated that even before this compromise was reached, that should ballot question number one pass, they would likely have to come back and revisit it, either to make the language sync up to the compromise that the governor signed back in July, or make further tweaks. I mean, this is a first-in-the-nation type of agreement. We're likely to see problems arise. I'm sure lawmakers will have ideas about how to fix it, refine it. I'm sure the interest groups will have tweaks that they want to make, too. Luckily, there are a few years before a lot of these provisions go into effect, but I think this issue would be far from dead on Beacon Hill.
All right. Matt Murphy with the State House News Service, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And the story gets a little more complex, and to help us sort this out and illustrate how complex it gets, we're joined now by Art Kinsman. He's with the Right to Repair Coalition. Art, thanks for joining us.
Oh, glad you're having me. Thank you.
Also with us is John Paul with AAA of Southern New England, and welcome back to Radio Boston, John Paul.
Good afternoon.
Now, let's be clear. You guys have been on the same side of this issue. You're both in favor of right to repair. We have a law. But John Paul, with AAA of Southern New England, you guys still want folks to support question one. Why?
Well, absolutely, and you're right. We are on the same side. In fact, Art and I worked together and even created a video originally to encourage voters to vote yes on question one. And what we saw was in the compromise, and let me just back up a little bit. We believe that when you buy the car, you own everything in the car, including all the technology in it, and that was what was important to us from the very beginning. And part of this technology, in our opinion, maybe got overlooked in the bill that was passed, because the ballot question seems to have broader definitions of some things, even as simple as what a vehicle is in considered in Massachusetts. A vehicle in the law that was passed seems to exclude recreational vehicles, motorhomes, motorcycles, for instance, and by excluding them, they're also being excluded from the conversation about getting on the same level playing field as the people that are fixing automobiles and light trucks.
All right, so let me just to cut to the chase, because our time is limited. It sounds like you're saying the law isn't broad enough. Art Kinsman, is that fair? I mean, do you agree with John Paul?
Well, you know, I mean, we've, like John said, we've worked closely with AAA on right to repair through this whole process, and we have nothing but respect for what they're doing. We've been out there trying to educate people about all the hard work that was done by the legislature to strike this agreement between both sides that's providing the law that's going to go into effect in November. However, you know, in the process of that, we've heard from a lot of our supporters, and we had 120,000 people sign this thing, and we found that the enthusiasm out there is still incredibly strong, and it's probably reflected in what AAA is hearing too. So we would like to provide some clarity too, and to suggest to people that they could skip the question is probably a little too confusing for people. I think we've always been a yes ballot committee. And I think we support our supporters who are telling us, you know what, we need to pass this ballot question as well. And I think the legislature certainly has the wisdom and the ability to as Matt was saying before, to work out whatever differences and to carefully look at it.
So even though we have a law, people who are in favor of the law should support question one. What happens, though, and let me come back to you, John Paul, what happens if question one passes, and it looks like it very well could pass? Now we've got two laws on the books. How do we sort that out?
Well, that you need to get the best legal minds in the world, I think, to get together and look at that and look and see which parts of the law make sense to work together, and like all kinds of, whenever there's competing laws and issues, you need to look and try to put them all together and make them work correctly, and make them work like the law was, like the bill and the ballot question was originally intended. Let that support itself.
All right, that's John Paul with AAA of Southern New England, and Art Kinsman with the Right to Repair Coalition, talking about question one and the right to repair law. Gentlemen, thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Take care.
Stay with us, because coming up, will changing the number of zones change the fundamental challenges faced by Boston public schools? I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.